And if you think about us, we come from all different areas, all different walks of life. Maybe not so much in this congregation, but if you look across the brotherhood as a whole, there are so many different backgrounds and so many different stories to be told. And God has brought us all together into His body, into His family. And that's not for our glory, but for His. So I think that's a good passage for us to think about and to remember. No matter where we came from and no matter what we've done, God has brought us together as a family together if we're obedient to His gospel. So, I'd like to talk to you, well, for one thing, sometimes that's hard for us to understand. I know when I was first beginning to think about what God had done for us and what Christ had done for us, it was really hard to understand. I'm going to talk about something else that when I was younger, I thought was probably, actually, I just never gave it much thought. And some people probably don't understand how this works either. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my work experience. Is there any water softener experts out here? Okay, Michael. Okay, good. Tell me if I'm wrong. All right, so at work, we have 6 huge water softeners and 2 huge dealkalizers. So I ask that you bear with me, and I will hopefully make this applicable to our lives today. Water softening is removing of magnesium and calcium and other certain minerals from our water that makes it softer. And my understanding years ago was you buy a water softener, you stick it in, you make sure it's got salt in it, and everything's good. Not giving any thought to how the process actually worked. And I think as humans, we do that a lot. We don't think about the process and how things happen and how things are fulfilled. I know sometimes talking to people who haven't had children, but yet are experts on rearing children, they don't understand all the work that goes into that. And as raising children, I understand the amount of pain and suffering that I put God through by watching me raise and make my mistakes and have to grow through that. Moving on, though. The resulting soft water requires less soap and less cleaning effort. because the soap is not wasting its bond attaching to the minerals that is in our water. And also, this reduced the scale and the buildup that ended up in our pipes. It will later cause backups and other problems. So the way that this works is the resin that is in the water softener is made up of millions and billions of little bitty tip of a needle-sized resin beads, and they are negatively charged. Well, the hard water coming in, the calcium and the magnesium and the other minerals are positively charged. So back to science 101, opposites attract, the positive and the negatives are drawn together. So it attracts the magnesium, calcium out of the water and passes out water that has some sodium in it, which is fairly minute. The way that this works is the sodium also has positive molecules, and that is attached to the resin initially, but it's a weak attraction. So when the heavier attraction from the magnesium and calcium come in, the sodium sloughs off and it attracts the magnesium and calcium. So what happens when those beads are holding all they can possibly hold? They become fouled or unuseful anymore. They're no longer doing their job. Well, you have to regenerate it. So the process of regeneration is you flood it with brine, which is basically salt water. You flood it with that, and all those billions of particles of sodium are enough to force off the calcium and magnesium, and it goes right down the drain. I got a more depth and direction in there, but that's the gist of it. It goes in and it breaks apart those other particles and gets rid of the trash. So, very similarly, dealkalizers, they remove the alkalinity of the water, but the resin's charged differently, and you're passing soft water over the resin to make that go out. And the reason that's applicable to my job and you don't have those in your house is You don't want that alkalinity in the boilers because it turns into acid in the carries out with the steam, and it'll cause your pipes to rot and things fall apart. It's a bad thing. So in my line of work, you need a softener and a dealkalizer, but at home, you just need a softener. So why do I bring this up? In the passage that Mark read for us in Ezekiel, in verse 26, it says, I will give them a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And also in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 through 20, it says very much the same thing. He repeats himself in chapter 36 of what he said in chapter 11. So God is saying, because of the hardness of your heart, because of the problems in your heart, I'm going to take that out of you. I'm going to give you a way to have a new heart, to have a new understanding, so that you will be able to keep my statutes and you will be able to remember my laws and abide by them. So a lot of times in the New Testament, we talk about rebirth. So another term for regeneration would be rebirth. We talk about it being born again. Our rebirth is distinguished from our first birth when we are conceived physically. The new birth is a spiritual heavenly birth that is a result of being alive spiritually. So we no longer have that sin in our lives. We're walking. We're a new creature. And man in his natural state is dead in his trespasses of his sins until he is made alive in Christ Jesus. And we know when this happens. This happens when we obey the gospel, when we lay down our sinful lives and we are obedient to what God has asked us to do. Our sins are washed away and we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration is a radical change. Just as our physical birth resulted in a new individual entering the earth, our spiritual birth results in a new person as well. If we are obedient to the gospel, if we truly lay down our past sinful lives, we're going to be a different person. We're going to be walking in a different way. We're going to view the world differently. As I was thinking about this, this thought process started for me a couple months ago, I think it was. Dwayne had made a comment about regeneration and what that was. And for me, a lot of times we apply things to things that we know, which is why Jesus used parables. He gave us instructions about things that made sense to us. Well, to me, water softeners and dealkalizers are part of my everyday life. So I got to thinking about the process of regeneration and how important it is to making sure our facility runs smoothly. So I thought about this in our lives, the effect of sin in our lives, and how it can stick to us and how it can cause us problems. It changes us and it can become exhausting. And then the terminology used in the resin for the softener, it says that the resin will get exhausted because it's so weighed down with the minerals. So if you've ever, after obedience to the gospel, let yourself be taken away with sin, be tempted and fall back into your old behavior, it's exhausting, right? It can be very exhausting to try to be putting on a good show for people, and yet we know that we're living wrong. We know that we're doing the wrong thing, and it's just wearing us down. It's beating us down, and it's hard to overcome. That's why it's important for us not to fall into that trap. After regeneration, we begin to see, hear, seek after divine things. We begin to live a life of faith and holiness. I think this another aspect of this, after we've obeyed the gospel, we do view things differently. We look at movies that we watched before and we think, I'm not going to watch that anymore. Or music we might have listened to before and think, I really shouldn't be listening to that. As parents, we go through a lot of that same step. We listen to, pull up a song from our past, when I went to a school dance or something and thought, wow, this is horrible. My children don't need to listen to this. And The same effect should happen to us when we've obeyed the gospel. We should really evaluate the things that we spend our time doing. What are we watching? What are we reading? What are we listening to? And if it's bad, purge it from our system. It can be hard to do because we are products of our generations. We are everything that was poured into us when we were growing up are things that we hang on to. I don't know if it's sentimental or what, but sometimes when I'm working, I would listen to music that I listened to when I was a kid, and it was just because it had a great beat or whatever, but it was something, it's the old fallback on. And we need to think about that in our lives and our sinful nature. We need to watch out for that. So we also need to remember that it's God, not man, that is the center of this transformation. It's not because of things that we do. We can give up things of our own power, but it won't last. We'll fall, and we'll be tempted, and we'll fall back into it. I've known people who have quit smoking for 10 years, and then all of a sudden they pick it up again, and they go back to their addiction. And our sinful nature is that way for us. We need to make sure that we understand that God is the instigator of that transformation. God's great love is a free gift. It's a rich grace and abundant mercy are the cause of our rebirth. The mighty power of God, the power that raised Christ from the dead, is displayed in the regeneration and the conversion of sinners. And I think we see that the most evidently when we are first come up out of the waters and we first have obeyed the gospel. We see the change in ourselves. We have a great joy. We have a desire to go out and do great things for God. But as time wears on, we get tired. We get exhausted. And we forget that we are in indentured service, as we talked about this morning. We have a duty to God, and we are called to do His work. Ephesians 1, 19 through 20 says, And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of it in the heavenly places. So it's God's power, it's God's ability that allows us to have that regeneration. So regeneration is necessary. Our sinful flesh has to be done away with to stand in God's presence. In His conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus brought up rebirth twice with him, trying to explain to him what had to happen, how things had to change. That was in John chapter 3. Regeneration is not optional, for flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. Regeneration is part of what God does for us at the moment of salvation, along with adoption, reconciliation, and other things. When we come out of the waters of baptism, we're different. We are now a part of His family, and we have the ability with His power to overcome the sin in our lives. Regeneration is God making a person's spirit alive as a result in faith in Jesus Christ. Prior to regeneration, or prior to our salvation, our obedience, we're not God's children. Rather, we are children of wrath. Before salvation, we are degenerate. After salvation, we are regenerated. Result of regeneration is peace in God, a new life, and a sonship. So it's by having that transformation, we become part of His family, and we have a new life. Our past sins, our past problems, are no longer have the power over us that they once did. Regeneration begins the process of sanctification. We become people of God. We are becoming the people God intends us to be. So just because we've obeyed the gospel, we've been baptized, that's not the end. We have to keep working towards living a life of faithfulness. It's not one and done. The only means of regeneration is by faith and obedience to the gospel. Just like in water softeners and dealkalizers, they must be regenerated. They must have the brine come in and dislodge the impurities and cast them out. But for us, that brine is the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what washes away our sin and cleanses us. We must keep sin flushed out of our hearts. So in softeners, we bring the salt back in and replenish them. But how do we replenish ourselves? Well, we must I'm just giving captions from different verses. We must renew our minds, take captive every thought, put off the old man. We must put on Christ. Hold fast to God's teachings. We must guard our hearts. And there's lots of other things that the scriptures tell us that we need to do in order to keep sin out of our life. If we just obey the gospel, get wet, get out, then that's not enough to keep sin away from us. We have to keep renewing our mind, have to keep strengthening our spirit so that we can stand up to all this world around us. If you remember, I was talking about softeners a moment ago. I talked about how the calcium and magnesium have a stronger influence or a stronger negative or positive attribute than the sodium does. And it takes billions of the softer, the gentler sodium to dislodge that. Well, if you think about the world around us, what do you see? Do you see billions of wonderful, encouraging things going on around you? Do you see everywhere people being kind to one another, love being thrown around? I don't think so. If you think about the world around us, we see sin everywhere. We see temptation everywhere. So if you think about us, our young believers, our new converts walking around this world, what are they being bombarded with? It's not the love of Jesus Christ everywhere they turn. It's not friendships that build them up and encourage them to walk in God's statutes. They're confronted by the world and sin that's in the world. So this is why it is important that we not only develop habits of rejuvenating ourselves, but encourage new converts to rejuvenate and remember to go back to God's word as well. It's not as an easy task to give up our sinful nature because we're carnal. And honestly, a lot of times, we enjoyed it. It felt good or it appeased our appetites. It's hard to give up some things that we've been very familiar with for many, many years. But it is a decision that we each individually have to make. We have to dedicate ourselves to turning our backs on those sins, turning our backs on those problems that arose in our past. It can be very hard to stand up to our past friend, our old friends, or tell a friend that we've had for many years that we can't be friends any longer unless you change or unless you don't try to drag me down. I have to absolve this friendship. It can be very hard to do because it can be very hard to make people or make what we believe to be true friends in this world. So, we must put our trust in God. We must believe that God has adopted us and has allowed us to have the opportunity to have our brothers and sisters in Christ around us that will help encourage us, help guide us, and build us up to be better sons and daughters for Him. And I would like to say to all of us who have obeyed the gospel, who have been adopted into the family, to not leave new converts hanging out there, to come up around them, rally around them, and encourage them. Don't have to hold their hand, but we have to be there for them to give them advice. We have to encourage them along their way and in the ways that they study, in the ways that they interpret the scripture. If they have a question and you don't have the answer, don't just turn your back on them. Say, hey, I'll study that with you. Or we'll try to find the answer. Go to God's word and look it up. I think oftentimes in my growing up in the church I came from, it was very hard because after they got somebody to say the prayer and dipped them in the water, that was it. There was no follow through. And we need to be very cautious that we don't do that. That because somebody believes that Jesus Christ is a Savior and that He has saved them from their sins and obeyed and were baptized, we don't turn our backs on them. We encourage them. We're there for them. And pray for them earnestly. It's our duty to encourage and support them and to be diligent in that. And that goes for older people too. Our older converts, somebody who may have obeyed the gospel years and years ago, they can get discouraged. They can get depressed. They can have a lot of bad things going on in their life and have a desire or feel like nobody actually cares. We need to watch out for that as well. We need to be caring and compassionate for those people around us. So, I guess to summarize, I hope I didn't lose you with the water softener analogy, but it is important that, you know, Christ is willing to take those things out of our lives. He's willing to cast off our sinful nature. He's willing to wash us clean. But we have to be diligent to refresh ourselves, to refresh our mind, refresh our heart, so that we don't let those impurities come back in. We have to make sure that those stay out of our lives. We have to build that barrier, that sodium barrier that keeps them cast off. And that's a responsibility of each and every one of us. But as I said, that's also a responsibility of each and every one of us to care for those around us and encourage them as well. And if you have not been obedient to the gospel, if you have not been regenerated, Christ makes it easy for us to be obedient to the gospel. We have to understand that he came to earth and he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. He raised from the dead so that we might have freedom from our sin. And if you have not done that, I encourage you to do that as we stand and sing our closing hymn.